There you go. Be one of those basic things we do, or I'm sorry, we should do, but it's probably one of the things that we sometimes fail at the most. And when we consider God and His disciples, we know His disciples in the New Testament, they failed sometimes at prayer, didn't they? In fact, when we think of the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ his disciples, and what they do, they continued to fall asleep, and they continued to fall asleep, and they did what we're going to look at this passage here. They fainted in prayer. They weren't successful at prayer. They fainted in a time of great need, in a time where the Lord would want them to pray. And I often think about today. Christ asked them to pray for an hour. I mean, He was marveled. You can't pray for 1 hour. And I know I've said this before, but 1 hour is not the is not when we get to a point to where we go, man, prayed for an hour. I am an awesome Christian. No, Christ was looking at his. No, come on. We would swing sweet hour of prayer, and we talk about somebody spending an hour in prayer. And for most Christians, I believe this today, if you were to spend an hour in communication with God, most Christians think, man, what in the world would we talk about? Most of us, I'm just talking about in the day we live in, the culture we live in, to spend an hour doing anything other than watching TV is difficult, and we'd find it hard to spend an hour in prayer. But when Christ was looking at His disciples, He was looking at them and saying, what, you can't even spend an hour? You couldn't even pray for an hour? I mean, that was a bare minimum with Christ and His disciples. And as disciples today, we find it hard and difficult to pray. And there's nothing mystical about prayer. Can I just say that? It's not some mystical thing. It's about communication. God desires to communicate with us. God desires to talk to us. I tell you what, being gone for a week, we had about 3 days in our trip where we couldn't contact home at all, and my wife and I continued to look at our phones and watch our phones, and we continued to think, man, when are we going to get cell phone service so we can call the kids? I mean, we left so we could get away from them, and while we were away from them, we were thinking about, well, we want to talk to them, and I kept sending videos, hey, this is what we're doing, and this is what we saw, and why? Because a father in a right relationship between a father and a child, a mother and the child, there's a desire for communication. And God has a desire for constant communication from us as His children. That's his desire. That's his will. He wants that. And the reality is, though, when we don't use the things that God gives us, God takes them away. And I know I mentioned this Sunday, and over the next month, I'll probably mention it another 100 times. But when Christ went into the temple, and when He was there and He ran the money changers out of the temple, I think it's an illustration that we need to take heed to. He ran them out because they had made his house a den of thieves, and they turned it into a place where people were just coming to exchange money, and people were just coming to take advantage of other people. And you realize the problem with that is that the Temple Mount, in the area where that would have been taking place, anybody could come in there, Gentile or Jew, were allowed into that area of the temple, and they could see that taking place. They could not see a Gentile, though, could not see what was happening inside the temple. They could see what was taking place outside in that Temple Mount area. And so their view of God was that God was there to take advantage of them. God was there, just the church was there, the temple was there, just to scam people out of their money. And I'm telling you, that's a lot of people's view from the outside of what any church is. It's a big joke. They're just going through the motions. They're just there till they can get people's money. And God's just wants things from me. God doesn't want things from me. We're going to read in our text, God wants to give me things. God desires to communicate to my need. But there's going to take communication to see that done. And God, when He ran the money changers out of the temple, our Savior said His house was to be a house of prayer. That's what he desired for his house to be. That's what he longed for his house to be. And now it's, I just find it an ironic thing now today that the only thing that the Jews can do when they go to the Temple Mount that the Lord ran them out from and that God eventually destroyed because of their sin and because of their hypocrisy, the only thing they can do now is go to the Wailing Wall and they'll take their prayers and they'll write them down on a little piece of paper and they'll stick them in the wall. In the holes of the wall, there at the base of the Temple Mount, and that's where they'll pray. They can't do anything else. They can't go in and make sacrifice. They can't do anything but go and do what God intended for them to go and do at that place in the first place. That's what God intended for them to go out to the temple and to pray and for it to be a house of prayer. And now that's the only thing they're allowed to do. I don't think that to be a coincidence at all. And we realize this, that God would have us to be people of prayer. I want you to just read with me from verse 1 down to verse number 8. And I've just got 3 points this evening. And so we should be out of here in a good solid hour. Amen. So... He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men, and these are some phrases you need to underline. Brother Roby just prayed this a moment ago, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And here's the parable in verse number 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, and underline this, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And so tonight, we want to just consider the idea that men ought always to pray. That's God's desire for men. And I understand. You say, preacher, prayer is a basic thing. It is a basic thing. And it's so basic that most of us neglect it. It's so basic that most of us very, very seldomly tap into the resource of what it truly is. And our Lord desires, number one, he wants us to pray. God's greatest desire for you is that you would be a person of prayer, that I would be a person of prayer, that everything we've done would be done through prayer and supplication, that we would be continually having him at the forefront of everything we do. God's desire is to communicate with us. He has a great desire to communicate with us. I want you to understand that we can go days, in fact, weeks at a time, people can go without communicating with the Heavenly Father. And some people get to a place to where their Christian life is a mess. Come on, I'm talking about Christians who get to a place to where they got hurt, maybe they got injured in an offense, or something's taken place to in their life, and they get to upset with God, and they don't want to talk to God, or they just get busy with life, and they get pride in their life, or whatever it might be, and for whatever reason they stop communicating with God, and they stop talking to God, and they can get to a point to where they think, well, I can just live my life without God in it now, and I can just go through the motions, and I'm not going to quit being a Christian, but there's no point in talking to God because God's already disappointed me. Obviously, God doesn't care. I'm telling you, there's no end to the different situations people can find themselves in. But the reality is this, that every time, even if one was to get far away from God, even if we were to get to a place to where we would be like in 1 Peter in chapter number, or 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 10, that when we lack these things, when we stop growing in the knowledge of Christ, it says we can be blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that we are purged from our old sin. Even if one was to get to that place in their Christian life to where they just had just a horrible honestly, a horrible relationship with God. And we would look at their life and say, man, that individual doesn't even seem to even appear to be anything like what a Christian should look at. I want you to understand with me, there's still a God in heaven that is waiting on them to come to Him in prayer. I mean, consider that. I mean, there's still a heavenly Father that is waiting for that child to come and to call upon Him. And He's not going to, His first answer is not, where in the world have you been? How dare you ignore me all this time? No, I'm telling you, when we go to God in prayer, I will say this, sometimes I have been beat up a little bit. I have been, and God's corrected me. But I'm telling you, when I come to God and I need the Heavenly Father to communicate with me, I'm telling you, there's a great compassion, a great love. And it should be overwhelming for us to understand the depths of depravity that man can get to in their life. And yet there's still a God in heaven that's willing to hear our prayers. And the horrible things that man can do to other men, and the conditions that we can put other men in, and the offenses that we can beat other men, and there's still a God in heaven that's willing to hear and forgive and to share His love with you,
right,
and communicate with you. And that's the God that we have. That's the kind of Lord that we have. He's a Lord that wants to communicate. He wants us to pray. It doesn't matter how long you've ignored Him. It doesn't matter the depth of the sin that you're in. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. But listen to me, it's going to start with you communicating with Him. I'm not trying to give anybody an excuse. Don't get me wrong. It's not okay that we would get to that level where we have no communication. Don't for one second think, oh, good. Well, that's okay. Listen, kids, it's not okay that you would not be communicating with God. It's not okay that we would go out and live in sin. It's not okay that we would get to a place to where we're angry and we're bitter and we're upset. I'm telling you, those are things that ruin people's lives. But I want you to understand this, that the God of who is our Heavenly Father that desires to communicate with us through prayer is always open and ready and willing and lovingly wanting to communicate. He's always wanting to communicate. It shouldn't be that we'd get to a place like that, but I just want you to understand that's who God is. And it's not that God says, if you just do everything right, and if you get everything in order, and you get everything in line, and you do all these proper things, here's the list A to Z of things you need to do, then you'll have a shot at communication with me. That's not God. He desires that men ought always to pray. He doesn't ever lose a desire. Listen to this. He doesn't ever lose a desire to communicate with you. He never has. He always has longed for a desire to communicate with you, and He never loses His desire to communicate with you. That's a God in heaven that loves us. But I want us to notice something at the end of verse number one. He says, men ought always to pray. And then He throws this in there, and not to faint. Not to faint. Now, it's not God that faints. It's man that faints. We understand that. But we faint. To faint means to be weak. It means to fail in heart. It means to be weary. We can get to a place to where we faint, where we are weary, to where our heart's desire fail through many different things. Through disappointment, we can be disappointed and our heart can fail. Our heart can faint. We can lose heart for what we are doing. And understand with me, there's a very, very rare to find some people that are still doing the same thing that they've been doing for any length of time. We can get to a place to where, man, I was excited about this one day, and man, I got excited about it after the preaching, and I renewed my heart for this thing that God's called me to do, this ministry that God's put me in. It could be a Sunday school class, could be a bus route, it could be the yard, amen? And we need a renewal of people's heart to make sure we have a nice looking yard. Praise the Lord. Come on. It could be any number of things that we would do for God. It could be your heart for your family in certain ways that, you know, you're going to be the spiritual leader that you need to be. You're going to be, you're going to keep your emotions in order so you can be the right mom to your kids, or whatever area it might be. We make these decisions and God convicts us, and the Holy Spirit of God moves upon us about things we need to change in us. us and we talk to God about it and we communicate with God about it and we're, man, thank you, Lord. I know you're going to give me the grace to do this. I know you're going to just do great things and it's going to be amazing. We get that way all the time. And then, 3 months later, we forget all about that. We faint. We fail. Our heart can grow weary. Our heart can get to a place to where we just totally forget about those things that God was doing. And where a few months ago, we just knew God was going to use us to see great things done. And now we've waited a whole couple, like 3 months, and still we're struggling. And God hasn't shown up, and we aren't, the bus is not full yet. And the Sunday school is not full yet. And my kids are still, fighting with each other. And this boss hasn't turned around. I mean, I've been doing my part and I've been praying. I've been talking to the Lord about it, but God's not coming through. I'm telling you, we can faint. And there's many, we can faint because we have sin in our life. We can faint. We have sin in our life. And instead of just to go ahead and confessing our sin, we can hold on to our sin. We can act like our sin. We can ignore our sin, act like it doesn't exist. And sin will cause us to faint. Just being the busy in life. Being busy in life. And I'll tell you, the more involved you are in ministry, it's not easier for me to have a personal devotion life. It's not easy. You understand? I get to study the Bible just to get up and to preach, and I get to study the Bible to teach, and it's real easy for me to go through a day and act like, well, I've studied the Bible. I was talking to James about this today, and James is out doing vacation Bible schools all summer long, and he's the main teacher, and we need to be praying for him. He's going to be preaching almost every night this summer. James is going to be preaching to some group of kids somewhere in the Midwest. And so we need to really lift him up in prayer. But he was talking to me today. He's like, he just reminded me about this. He's like, you said that it's, the Bible college is an easy way to get away from the Lord because you're always studying the Bible, but you're not really studying it for yourself. You're studying it to pass tests. And I said, yeah, I do. And he's like, yeah, I've never experienced that more than, I'm just getting into this. And he said, the first couple days I find myself, all I'm doing is I've ignored my devotion life just so I can study to be ready to teach tonight. You realize with me, I'm telling you, sometimes we can be doing some good things and yet we can still not be doing the right things. And we can faint in our heart and we can get busy in life and we can have pride that's stirred up and we can have trials that come. We can just flat sometimes forget. Sometimes we just forget, and we faint, and we don't think that even if we stop to pray that it'll help, and we don't feel like God cares anyway, and we can get all these kind of doubts about God and start asking God, God hasn't answered my prayer. Why should I continue praying? And why should I pray about anything in the future? Well, listen, this is why. Because God wants to hear your prayer. God is desirous that you would pray. And God is desirous to have communication with you. The Lord wants us to pray, number one. Number two, our Lord wants to bless us. Your Heavenly Father desires to bless your life. God desires to bring gifts into your life. Look at the story, this parable, if you will, that he gives us. And it talks about the unjust judge that feared not God. He didn't believe in God at all. And he neither regarded men. He didn't care about how his judgments affected men. He didn't care about what the conditions of those who he was judging were. I mean, he was very selfish individual. He was a very, if we could say this, he was a very arrogant individual and had no desire at all for those who were underneath him and concern for those who were beneath him. And so here this unjust judge has this woman come and someone has wronged her. She has an adversary, someone that is fighting against her. And we would get the idea that she was being unjustly treated. She was being unfairly treated. And so she goes to this judge that can do something about this unfair treatment that this adversary has brought into her life. And the unjust judge is honest with himself and says, I don't believe there is a God, and I don't really care what happens to this woman, but I am so selfish that I don't want her bugging me either. That's how selfish it is. I would rather help her just to get her out of my hair, just so she would leave me alone. That it wasn't a matter of of there being justice being done, which you think, man, if he's a judge, he would be concerned with justice. No, it wasn't about that at all. It wasn't about what was going to be best for those people that he was serving. It was about what was best for him and what was going to cause him to have a little bit more peace in his life. And so therefore, he says in verse number five, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming, she weary me. I'm sick and tired. I'm already tired of listening to her complain and listening to her whine. So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and do what she desires because I'm done listening to her cry and I'm growing weary with it. I don't want her to weary me. I don't want to listen to this anymore. It's the same thing every day. Over and over and over again, every day. Judge, I need you to take care of this problem that I have. Judge, I need you to take care of this problem I have. Judge, could you please help me out? Judge, could you please take up for me in this? I mean, over and over. And he was growing weary in listening to this woman come to him over and over. And we come to our Heavenly Father, my friend. Listen, he's not just going to answer just because of your continual coming, because he's sick and tired of listening to what you have to say. No. He desires to answer prayer because he does have a care and a concern for you. Because he is a just judge. Because he is a loving judge. Because he does care about you. He's not selfish and it's not prideful and it's not arrogance. No. He's a God that loves and cares and desires that you would have those things that ye have need of. That's the God that we serve. And he says this. He says in verse number 6 and 7, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect when which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And it's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously yes. If an unjust judge would act because he's tired of being wearied, how much more would a just God that loves his children when they are continually coming and when we're continually going before him? And I'll say this, the problem is generally not that God doesn't meet our needs. The problem is generally that we grow faint in our prayer life, and therefore we aren't going to God, and we have not because why? We ask not. That's why we don't have. It's because we got faint and we failed in, if you will, and we grew weary in our prayer life. And instead of going to a good, just God that desires to bless our lives and a Lord that desires to bless us, we grow faint and we grow weary and we cease to pray. When God's telling us that men ought always to pray, not faint. That's the God who's up in heaven. And then number three this evening, I'll get three fingers up there for you. Three. Our lack of a prayer life is a lack of faith. Our lack of a prayer life is a lack of faith. When we get to a place to where we're ceasing to pray, when we're not getting on our face before God, even though, man, it's just, so it is very much rudimentary. I was talking to Brother Randolph. Brother Randolph pastored. It's actually Brother Sanders' pastor. That's where Brother Byron grew up, was under Brother Randolph in the church there, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Phoenix. And his parents, Brother Byron's family, has been there for as long. They were there when the start of the church, and Brother Randolph was there about 35 years, 36 years. He was started the church and pastored the church, and then has retired, stepped out into evangelism now. But he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, I've never seen people that just simply do the basics of the Christian life. Whoever seem to cause problems in church. It was this conversation we had this afternoon. He says, generally people that are reading their Bible and praying and attending faithfully in church and singing in the choir and have some kind of ministry in the church and are regularly giving, he said, if you just go through just regular basic church attendance, basic, you know, reading our Bible, basic prayer, basic giving, basic involvement, he says, generally not those people that I ever find that are the ones that are causing problems among a flock. He said, but generally you can find this out, that when somebody's causing to have some kind of problem, there's some kind of issue, that there's some basic thing that they've ceased to do. And our prayer life, if we cease in our prayer life, listen to me, it's because we have a lack of faith in our prayer life. Why do we go to God in the first place? Because we know He's a just God that desires to bless His children. That's why we go to God, because we know that we have need of all things. And praise the Lord, He knoweth what we have need of. That's why we go to Him. That's why we talk to Him. That's why we pray. And so we go unto God in faith and talk to God, believing that God hears our prayers, knowing that God hears our prayers, and that God's a just God who desires to be a blessing and to bless His children. And God wants us to take what... His trouble reading my writing here. God wants us to take Him at His word. God wants us to take Him at His word. God wants us to have belief in when we talk to Him. Listen to me. It's not God that's up in heaven that's just desiring that we would come to Him with such crazy notions and crazy ideas so that He can have something to laugh about later. This isn't just a form of entertainment for Him. No, it's a desire that He wants a relationship, and He wants a communicative relationship, and He wants to have a communication with you. He wants to talk to you. When we lack a communication with Him, it's because we've, number one, have pride in our life that we think that we don't need to have communication with Him. Number two, it could be that we have sin in our life that's causing us to want to avoid communicating with Him. But listen to me, at the root of it all, it's a lack of faith. Someone doesn't want to receive Christ as their personal Savior. They don't want to, if thou shalt believe in thy heart, confess with thy mouth, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, what's so hard about salvation? Nothing. A child can receive salvation. A child can call out to God, understanding they're a sinner, understanding their need for salvation, and ask God to forgive their sin. A child can understand that, and a child can do that, but you realize what's going to stop a child? What's going to stop a teenager? What's going to stop an adult from praying and asking God for salvation? Lack of faith. They don't believe that. Well, it can't be all the time. We'll hear this. Well, it can't be that simple. Come on. I mean, certainly there's something. I mean, there's got to be more to it than that. And a lot of people fall after false religion because they think that it cannot be just so simple for whosoever shall call upon the Lord. It just can't be that simple. So they'll fall after false religion that'll teach them that they have to do other things. Get this. When we have a lack of prayer life, whether it be for even the basic of salvation or just a simple communication, now that we have salvation, listen to me, my friend, it's because we have a lack of faith. We have a lack of faith. Psalm in chapter 55, David is talking about the trouble, the turmoil that he's going through because of Saul, because of the adversary. He says in Psalm 55, if you look there in Psalm 55, he says, I'm just going to quickly just verse number 2. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Verse number 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Oh, that I had wings. In verse number 6. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. I mean, he was, I'm telling you, a place where he was in deep distress. That's where David is in Psalm chapter 55. He's being hunted by Saul. He's being he's having to run for his life. He's done nothing wrong. And he's having to run for his life. He's done nothing. You understand this. He's done nothing but good for Saul. He's done nothing but good to the house of Saul. Listen, even after this is all over and done with, his heart for the house of Saul is still to do good unto the house of Saul. And he loves Saul. He cares about Saul. He says this. He says in verse number 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. If it was just somebody that hated me already, or somebody that we were already at enmity with one another, then I could have taken it. But it wasn't that. Neither was it that hated me that did mightily that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company." He said, listen, we were friends. I'm telling you, he was being betrayed by a man that he loved and cared for and served. He's being betrayed by him. But look what he says. "As for me," verse number 16, "as for me, I will call upon God. The Lord shall save me." And then look verse 17. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Look at verse number 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I'll tell you, David was going through terrific troubles, through immense trials that he hadn't brought upon himself. I mean, he hadn't done anything to deserve them. And his defense was not that he was going to fight, not that he was going to try to avenge himself. No. His defense was this, that I'm going to get on my face before God, and I'm going to talk to God. And you say, well, what is there a point to evening and morning and at noon? Well, yeah, the point is this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there is, they say, well, I mean, evening, morning, at noon, that's not all day. I'm telling you, you in your life, try this. I'm just challenging you, and I'm just going to give you this as a challenge. You try to remember at morning and at noon and at night. If we were to talk to in Jewish terms, it would be 6 in the morning, noon, 12, and 6 p.m. in the evening. Evening, morning, and at noon. You stop and you try to remember just to pray 3 times a day. I promise you, you're going to find it more challenging to remember that than you think it would be. But David in his troubles and David in his trials said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go throughout my day and I'm going to take time to talk to God about the troubles. Because this, I know God cares. And I know God wants to communicate. And this is the great thing. I know that God will avenge me. God's going to take care of this. God's got this. But here's what it's going to take. It's going to take David spending some time in prayer. And I have to let you know, in your life, if you're going to see God bring deliverance, if you're going to see God provide, if you're going to see God really get to a place to where God is doing great work in your life, it's going to be because you take some time in prayer. You got a kid that's not doing right, it's going to take some time in prayer. You have some bills that need paid, it's going to take some time in prayer. You have some souls that you'd like to see saved. God, I'd like to see my family reached. I'd like to see my coworkers reached. I'd like to see my kids reached for the Lord. Guess what? It's going to take time in prayer. Many times we think, well, if we just came up with, and I'm for this, and don't get me wrong, I'm for having a plan when we go out to present the gospel. I'm for that. We should have a plan. I think the problem with most people's witnessing is that you really haven't thought about communicating. You haven't thought about it. You haven't thought about how to communicate. What am I going to say? Why don't you spend some time thinking about it? Come on. Well, I just don't know what the verses are. Guess what? You could memorize some verses. You certainly could. It's not hard, but what will stop a lot of people from just even going to their waiter and say, "Hey, listen, I want to invite you to the house of God. On the back of this track, there's the gospel. It's the most important message I could share with you, the most important thing I could give you. It's better than any tip I could leave. Leave a tip if you do that, all right? Because he still does want his tip, and leave a good one, please, if you're going to do this. But understand with me, is go ahead and think through what you're going to say. I'm telling you, it wouldn't be bad to look at your spouse and go, "Hey, listen, we're going to role play a little bit so this isn't so awkward next time we go to the restaurant." And think through, I mean, I'm honestly, when you're at a gas pump, say, "Hey, I'd just like to share this with you. It's got the gospel on the back of it." I mean, whatever it is that you're going to say, I mean, I honestly think through it. Contemplate it. Have a plan behind it. Well, listen to me. Our communication would go better if we had a purpose and a plan of what we're doing. I write down notes when I get up to preach. You know why? Because I want to get up here and actually have, even if it might not be the greatest thing in the world, I want to have something of substance that I'm going to say. And in order to do that, I'm not going to just get up here and ramble without any notes at all. I'm going to write some things down so I can keep us going in a right direction. But listen to me, our prayer life, it's going to be kind of the same way. You want to communicate? Maybe you ought to put some thought into this thing. That's why we have a thing called a prayer list. Come on. That's why we write down, "Hey, write this down. Pray for Miss Sherry, get the hours that she needs. Pray for her aunt. Hey, be praying for Brother Ron." We write them down. Why? Because we're making a preparation for proper communication. These things that we have need of. Listen to me, because we have faith, we're going to ahead and write this down. We're going to bring these things unto God because we know that God knoweth what we have need of. And God's the only one that can make a difference in anyone's life anyway. God's the only one that can make a change. So we're going to make a point of being always at prayer. Man, not always to pray and not to faint. We're going to make a challenge of evening and morning and at noon. We're going to stop and we're going to talk to God. And maybe you say, "I can't stop for an hour." I understand that, but you could stop. Understand, you could stop in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. You could stop and pray for a few things. You realize we're called to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. It doesn't take much time to say, "Lord, God, you told us to pray for more laborers. I want to come to you. I'm asking, would you send more laborers?" Man, that took a whole 10 seconds out of my day. We're to pray. We should be praying for folks to be saved. We should be praying for the gospel will be presented, that the gospel will be heard, and that souls will be saved. We can stop. It doesn't take time, a lot of time. I'm talking, you could probably pray for harvest to be laborers and for souls. We could take time to pray for the church ministries. "Lord, we need you to pray for our buses. We need your blessing upon our buses, upon our bus workers, upon our Sunday school as they present the gospel. Lord, our missionaries. God, I'm not going to be able to have time to name them all by name right now, but God, you know who they are. And Lord, we want to pray for the gospel being presented around the world. If it's a true gospel message, will it be heard? And Lord, would you pray for the outreach of our church? And God, would you pray for our musicians at our church? Would you pray for the music? And Lord, you know we need another piano player or two or three. Amen. And so, Lord, we need you to bless that. And God, would you help our singers? Would you give them time to practice? Would you give them songs that would minister to the hearers, and God would bring ultimately glory unto you? Would you help them and lead them to write music? And Lord, be with the preaching, and be with the preacher, and Lord, be with Brother Wallace, and then Lord, be with our church family, and God, you know Brother Ron's having surgery, and you know Brother Ray needs to have surgery, and you know Miss Choi always needs prayer, amen, and Miss Sherry's family. I'm telling you, I haven't even been 5 minutes. I mean, there's just some basic things. I mean, we could stop and pray for throughout our day if we really had faith that God was going to do something about it. If we really had faith, man, God, man, we have a bad situation, we have bad circumstances. Well, guess what? You can come and mention it on Wednesday night, and that's fine. I want to be praying with you about it. But most importantly, it's not about just mentioning it here on Wednesday night or making sure Elizabeth knows about it so she can put it out on the prayer chain. It's about you and I actually doing the physical act of going before God in prayer. We've already made some preparation, haven't we? And praying is so hard. I mean, honestly, just Lord, let me go through these lists with you. You say, well, just talk to God. Wouldn't that be irreverent? No. Listen, you're talking to your Heavenly Father. My kids don't get down on their knees and bow down to my feet and kiss my ring so that they can talk to me. They just, listen, most of the time, they'll come, Dad, I'm not joking. They'll ask Dad 3 or 4 times, and I'll be like, okay, yeah, just talk. I'm sitting right here, you're sitting right here. Just talk to me. You don't even have to say Dad. Just start talking, I'm listening. And listen to me, that's our Heavenly Father. And I think it's right that we bow our heads, we close our eyes, and understand that we get bow a knee or bend a knee before God. I think those are all right things. I think that's where true worship takes place, is when we actually prostrate ourselves before God. But understand with me, and not always to pray, not to faint. And God desires to have communication with you. And if we're really going to be people of faith, we are going to desire to have communication with Him. We're going to desire that. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.